One of the good things that came out of me, one of the good things that came out for me going home last week to pack was the following. Oh wow, big crowd today. Let's move back here. One of the things that came out good from last week when I went home to pack my sarum was that I found this sefer. It's called The Soul of Jerusalem, Teachings of Rabbi Shlomo Carbach, compiled by Rabbi Shlomo Katz. Pretty amazing sefer. A lot of Tisha B'Av, good things from Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av oriented. I just wanted to share a couple of things, and hopefully through these two stories we could try to grow in our own level. I think I'll read from the book just because I read it very late last night and I don't want to misinterpret anything, but here we go. Rabbi Shlomo Katz compiled these recordings from Rabbi Shlomo Kadach and they put it into a book. Here we go. In 1963, I had the privilege of being with the Holy Vishnitzer Rebbe in St. Moritz, Switzerland on Tisha B'Av. There was a Jew who started chanting Eicha, the Book of Lamentations, but he was crying so much that he made the reading very long. So the Vishnitzer Rebbe said, "Please make it fast." The Yidola, didn't make it fast, so the Rebbe gave Eicha to someone else to read. At the end of Eicha, everybody was standing around the Holy Vishnitzer. And the Rebbe said, "I want you to know my Holy Father, the Heiliger Rebbe Yisrael Vishnitzer, was up all night on Tisha B'Av, the whole night. And he had some Jews with him singing some Nagunim, some melodies, like we were last night, some which are not so sad, but not really happy, but they were in between Nagunim, from Eicha. My father and his Hasidim were up all night singing Eicha, but not with the traditional melody with the other Nagunim." Listen to what he says here. "I didn't understand why the Rebbe told us this until I found the mind-blowing teaching by the Radomsky Rebbe, the Teferet Shlomo. When a son is crying, a good father consoles his son. What happens when both the father and the son are crying? What happens if both of them are crying? If the son is a good son, then for a few moments, he forgets his own pain and tries to console his father. On Tisha B'Av, we are sad because of what happened to the Beis HaMikdash, which really means that on Tisha B'Av, we start becoming sad because of what happened to ourselves. But it is even worse." This is how he connects it back to why the Bishop to Rebbe wanted Eicha to go fast. "The truth is on Tisha B'Av night, we are crying, and God is crying as well. The Radomsky Rebbe says that real people forget for a moment their own pain, and they mamish pretend to be happy for just a few moments, for a few minutes, and a few moments, in order to make it easier on their Father in heaven, because the destruction was hardest on him." Let me read that line again. This is a gut-wrenching line. "Because the destruction was hardest on him. If only we felt God's pain." Pretty intense story. That the reason the Vishnitzer Rebbe, Davka wanted to read Eicha quickly. He even took the guy, the Chazan, who was doing Eicha. Like, I forgot one of the guys last night. Four out of the five were pretty quick, but one guy was just like, just want to like, let's go, come on. It's very hard to be sad. But the Vishnitzer Rebbe said, "I can't bear to have my father be in pain." He said, I'd rather forget about my own pain, forget about my own suffering, just so I can't have Hashem listen to this anymore. It's a very, very big thing. They say from Rav Shlomo Zalman, when his wife passed away in the hospital, I think in Shaarei Tzedek, he was in the hospital taking care of some technical things, and a student of his came in and said, "Rebbe, Mazel Tov, I just had a son." And there's an eyewitness to this. Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't say a word about his wife. Mamish had the biggest smile on his face, and they started dancing and singing together, Mazel Tov. Be able to put someone's pain aside for a second, just to be able to focus on someone else, to make sure someone else is happy. It's an incredible thing. Just a parenthetical note, there's a minhag when a spouse passes away at the levaya to ask for mechila. And when a person's wife or husband's up there, before the aron is buried, you're supposed to ask for mechila. So listen to this. So Shlomo Zalman said at the levaya, this has really nothing to do with this, but we're just talking about Shlomo Zalman. So at the levaya, he was speaking about his wife, and this is how he closed his speech. He said, "There's usually a minhag to ask for forgiveness from your spouse before you go to the next world, because the neshama is still very much there at the levaya. I just want to let you know, we lived our lives with such shalom. I have nothing to be sorry for, and you have nothing to be sorry for. We're 100%. We're clean. We're good. He said from one of his children, I think, that they took a neder, took a promise in the yichud room, right after the chuppah in the yichud room. Rav Shlomo Zalman told his wife that from here on out, you're in charge. Whatever you think is right, that's what we're not going to fight about anything. It's finished. Done. Sometimes with my own shalom bias. Challenges. I just think of that story and it just like gives me a lot of chizik. So I guess just to be able to focus. Sometimes when we're in our own pain, to be able to focus someone on just making sure someone else is happy. Or if we're looking for our own laundry, we try to find Hillel Jacobs' laundry. Did he find his laundry? I'm not sure.
I think he found it and lost it again.
As long as he found it the first time. But at the end of the day, we'll tell Hashem, we can't do this anymore. At the end of the day, Hashem, it's very hard for us to be upset about ourselves, but we know that you're crying in heaven, as we said before during Kinos. Rav Weinberger, I heard, listen to Shir, and he was in Auschwitz. If anyone knows how to send it, I'll send it out. I have no idea how to send it off my iPod. It's a bootleg copy. It's not a wine Torah. It's probably the most inspiring thing I've ever listened to in my entire life. He says, if Hashem, the Gemara says, if Hashem left one tear into the world, the whole world would be destroyed. Finished. The Gemara says that Hashem cries every single day in a hidden place. In a very, very hidden place. Listen to this second story that he brings down here. We'll close. Whenever the holy Vorka, Rav Yitzchak of Vorka, had to yell at his children, he would walk up at them and first and say, sit down and make yourself strong, because I have to yell at you. So let's say Mendel, you would sit down for a few minutes and get very strong, and then the Vorka would yell. Listen to this. Imagine that what kind of holy education this is. It seems to me that the holy Vorka was telling his children, I have to yell at you because I'm your father and I have to teach you, but I want to give you some time to prepare yourself so you can take it. Hashem is our father, says Rav Shlomo, and he wants to teach us. So sometimes he has to yell at us to knock us off. Do you know what Hashem really does? Already when he created the world, he told Klal Yisrael, I have to yell you on Tisha B'Av. We know that from the beginning of time, Hashem knew there would be a Tisha B'Av. By the time of the Meraglim, he knew that was going to happen. Hashem give us time to make ourselves strong so we can make it through. Listen to this amazing story I did late last night. It's incredible. A Jew once came to the holy Reb Simcha Bonim of Pshischer and asked for help. The Rebbe saw right away that the man needed to clean up his act, but he couldn't get through to him. So the Rebbe said, you know what? I like chess. You like chess. You want to play a game of chess? About 2 minutes into the game, the Pshischer made a mistake. The guy said to him, the guy who needed a little chizik to clean up his acts, he said, but the Rebbe said to him, please forgive me. I just wasn't paying attention. There's so much noise outside, and it bothered me. Really, just don't let it count. Please, don't let it count against me this time. Like, I remember when I was once, me and my sister used to play baseball in our den on Shabbos. And I used to put like a strike down the middle. And she used to always say, I wasn't ready. Yeah, you weren't ready. Very good. You were ready. It was a good pitch. It was a curveball. But the Jew told him, okay, but this is a game. If you make another mistake, that's it. 3 minutes later, the Pshischer Rebbe made another big mistake, which put the other Jew in a tremendous position for conquering. He said, I can't concentrate. I'm having so much trouble right now. My wife is sick, my grandmother is sick, and also my mother-in-law, said the Rebbe. The Jew said back to him, there are rules to this game. You can't keep on doing this. The Rebbe did it again three more times. After doing it five times, finally the other Jew had enough. He said, listen, I can't play with you anymore. The Rebbe looked at him closely and said, tell me something. How many wrong moves in your life have you been making lately? Now let me ask you, how long did we have to suffer before we could receive the Torah? 210 years. And how much suffering did we go through to get to the Holy Land? 2,000 years. And we still haven't finished yet. Can you imagine how deep the Torah of Eretz Yisrael is? How strong the revelation of Mashiach is? If all that suffering was worth it? The holiness of the Pshischer Rebbe story is to let you know. Please don't think that during the destruction, Hashem isn't teaching me anything. The teaching of destruction is so strong that it has to go deeply inside of us. You see what it is. For 40 years in the desert, we learned Torah, and then we came to Eretz Yisrael. But our learning wasn't deep enough yet, because we went into exile for 70 years. We came back, but it still wasn't deep enough, and we were exiled again. Right now, we are mamish in the final stages before Mashiach. We're in the ikvah of the Mashiach. We are mamish getting it. We are mamish getting it. Tisha B'Av is the one day when on the highest level, Hashem is revealing to us the teaching of destruction. But Rav Shlomo is saying here, so many times in our lives, we think that we think about the three boys, we think about Harnof, the Sassoon family, all these tremendous tragedies that happened this year, Aaron Lichtenstein. At the end of the day, Hashem is just giving us a wake-up call. wake up call saying, I'm here. All I want you to do is say what Binyamin said. Just write me a little letter back. Write me a little letter. Just to see that they know that I'm there. Just to close, I said this earlier in the summer. There's a band that I used to like listen to sometimes when I have to. I also listen to. They're very good. It's called the Goo Goo Dolls. I'm sure a lot of people have it on their iPod. They're very, very good. It happens to have one song that I connect to very much. It's called Iris. It's probably one of the most top three, top two, whatever song. So on the July 4th thing in Buffalo, which it says on my iPod, it says Goo Goo Dolls live in Buffalo, July 4th. Listen to this. The guy of the band, I'm not sure if he's Jewish or not. The words are very Jewish, but I'm not sure if he's Jewish. The words of the song, of the lyrics, are as follows. Because I don't want the world to see me, because I don't think they know who I am. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. This isn't a head to go listen to music after this. I'm just telling you, tomorrow you can. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. That's exactly the story of the Pshischa Rebbe right now. The tzaddik and Google Dolls, whatever his name is, Hashem should bless him, that he should try to be makar of a lot of people to come closer to him. He says, when the things are made to be broken, the Sassoon family, when things just look, what the heck, there's an Arab that walked into a Vasikin minyan, these people woke up every morning to daven, why can't he go to the 9:30? No, just kidding, Chaz v'Shalom. That should never happen. But these people woke up so early in the morning. Moshe Tursky went to the mikvah every single morning. And those are the Jews that these Arabs came after. When everything's made to be broken, Hashem, I just want you to know who I am. I just want you to know who I am. Just to be able to close the recap. We saw the story about the visions of Rebbe. He said he had to take off the chazan off the stage because he couldn't have it anymore. He couldn't bear it that Hashem should have to hear these words of Eicha Yashuv Vadad about how his people, how his children needed to, how his children had to get kicked out of Yerushalayim, and how we have to sit down to the United Nations and listen to their stupid agreements with Iran. Hashem, we can't do it anymore. That's what the Rebbe said. We can't do it anymore. But the second story about Simcha Banim, in the chess game, about that guy who had to realize, at the end of the day, every single person makes mistakes, and every single person has their own little. Sometimes they go off the derech here, they go off the derech here, but they're able to come back and say, you know what, I made a mistake, but I want to come back. But even in those times of destruction, or even in those times of unclarity, we can't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu fully. We know at the end of the day that because of the broken pieces, that those broken pieces are the sign of tremendous hope. That is everything that gives us tremendous hope to be able to go on and be able to be good Jews. So Be'ez Hashem, my biggest tefillah now, going from Shachris now going to Chatzos, we all take upon ourselves one little small thing. It doesn't have to be the biggest entire thing, but one small thing that we're trying to work on. And I'll be very, very honest, I'll be very, very clear with everyone here. It always happens after Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you know what I'm going to say? Right now I'm going to say Asher Yatzu with tremendous kavanah. I'm not going to walk without saying Asher Yatzu with a lot of kavanah. Everyone has to do something small, but what you think you're at, where you're at. Don't start thinking that, I have to start davening a 28-minute Shmoneh Esrei. If you're a seminary girl and you think that's up, you think that's good for you, then you're schmack. Very good. I'll be very honest with you. I cannot daven a 28-minute daven Shmoneh Esrei and have kavanah. Every single person has to realize where on their own level. And Be'ez Hashem, if we do this, we'll be able to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the vision said. They said, Rabbono Shalom, we can't do it anymore to you. We can't have you see your children in pain. We can't have you see your bride in pain anymore. And if Be'ez Hashem, we do this, we'll all to come together out of Guilford, out of the middle of nowhere in New York, in upstate New York, and we'll to march together into the holy streets of Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Yerkodesh, Amen.